Brisbane, Australia. This is episode 45 of The Normal Blokes, a podcast dedicated to improving the competitive 40k experience and part of the Down Under network. I'm Denith, and today we've got Luke.
Hey guys, how are we doing?
And a very special guest joining us again from Canada, Scurry.
Hello, all of you from Down Under.
All right, today we've got Scurry on, a career Drakkari player. We'll be discussing the new Eldari faction releases, which are not so new now, actually. They've kind of been slotted into the Marine releases that everyone's talking about. And we'll be talking about
where all... down to your hemisphere.
Well, that's right. You know, it slowly trickles down here. We're a little bit slower. But we'll be talking about, you know, what we're looking forward to seeing. New changes to the factions, the traits, Exarch powers, certain key units that you might see more of and how to handle them. And how Eldari will go, you know, in the meta against some of the stronger choices at the moment. And also the viability of current Eldar builds, things like the Flyers. But yeah, how are you guys going today? How are you, Scurry?
Very well, thank you for asking. Hope everybody out there in your hobby den or in your car going to work are well as well.
Yeah, so hopefully it's a good start to the hobby week. And Luke, you've been working on some new stuff?
Yeah, man, I've been building some terrain. I actually bought some terrain from... what's it called? Knights of Dice. Some nice semi-modular terrain. It's looking really good. Building that lately.
Oh, nice. They've got some really cool stuff.
Yeah, man. It's nice laser cut MDF. I got some like destroyed ruins and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're quite cheap. They're like $30 Australian per building. So it's not that expensive at all.
Yeah, that's sick.
It's pretty cool.
And what do we got coming up? We got Newcastle teams coming up that a bunch of our guys are going to. We'll try and get some recorded content out if we can. And then what's that end of the year? Not much else on, Luke, for us, really, just CanCon.
No, yeah, just CanCon. And I think there's a lot of ATC sort of practice games going on.
Yes.
Like that.
Yeah. But all right, we'll dive into our main topic. So, of course... With the release of, you know, the Space Marine Codex, we saw more custom chapters, custom traits and things, and the Eldari faction's got a little bit of that, and they've got a lot of new stuff to work with. So, Scurry, I might let you take the lead on this one. In general, with changes to Eldari, how are the faction traits and things new?
I really like the new faction traits and whatnot. In terms of Eldari, I think we got, well, in the book, you had Craftlord stuff, you had Drakkari obsessions, and then you had the kind of like a Harlequin, an Inari reprint, essentially.
Yes.
Which brought the characters into line and just a lot of points discounts, which I think was needed for the Inari personally.
Yes.
But I'm overall positive. If you want just like an overall thing, I like what they did with it. I cannot wait to see what they do with, you know, they just teased the Chaos Space Marines Black Templars one that's going to be coming out soon.
Yes.
So I'm excited about these new releases. It's a great way to give us fun toys to play with.
Yeah, exactly. And it gets stuff that, you know, might not have been used as much before out onto the table.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about, we'll just start bit by bit. We'll talk about Azuyani or just Craft Worlds to begin with. What kind of new stuff did they get?
So Craft Worlds got, first of all, they got, let's start with the psychic powers. Because if there's anything that you like about psychers, they got a new psychic tree, which is, I think, is one of the coolest things in the book. It's called Runes of Fortune. Interesting thing about this set is in order to get one of these powers, you replace your smite, which is kind of cool and is a dynamic that we haven't seen yet in 8th edition, getting rid of your smite power, which is like a standard power that everybody has, or all psychers do. And, you could go into detail in a few of them, but there's a couple of them that I really like. I really like one called Impair Senses, which is it's on a 6+. It's manifested.
Mm-hmm.
You select an enemy unit within 18 inches that's visible to the psyker until the next psychic phase. When that unit shoots, you can only target closest enemy unit unless the targeted attack is within 18 inches of the shooting model.
That's sick.
Well, enemy unit. So you can sort of blind... it's like an inverse cloud of flies. Be like, and that big knight all the way over there on that flank can only shoot the closest thing, which is going to be this wave serpent, because wave serpent is still pretty tough. So I kind of like that. I like that half of their powers go off on a 4+, which means they're really easy to cast as well.
That 4+ is, it's so nice.
It's really cool. Then there's, they gave them 20, I think it's 22 different craft world traits. You can kind of mix and match to create your own craft world. So there's been a lot of talk about expert crafters, which is rerolling a hit and then a wound roll. Sort of like the salamanders sort of trait, you know, with like one shot weapons, you know, like vibro cannons or, you know, bright lances or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have one that, which one is it? Oh yeah, it's called Children's of Prophecy. So when a psychic test is taken for a model with this attribute, each roll of a 1 is treated as a 2. So you can never sort of perils on double ones. Wow. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
It also means you never fail any of these 4+ psychic powers.
Yeah.
Because the minimum you'll roll is a 4.
Oh,
so, so that's pretty cool. The Runes of Fortune. Then they, of course, gave us updated rules for Jainzar, who's the Phoenix Lord of the Howling Banshees. Really cool new-looking models. Her rules themselves, I feel like she lost Disarming Strike but gained some stuff. So if anybody has any feedback on have you used her in-game, let us know what you think. She seems pretty like killy but fragile, like most Eldar things. Howling Banshee's got new sculpts, but the rules stayed pretty much the same, other than the fact that they did go down in points, and they received some new Exarch powers, which we'll get to in a second.
Yeah, of course, yeah, that's actually a good time to get into it. Any other units you want to talk about before Exarch powers?
These are the two main units that the Eldari got. Then the Drukhari got two more, but
yes,
we can get to those.
Yeah, that's when
we talk about Drukhari. Yeah.
Of course, yeah. So Exarch powers, mate, these are awesome. These are awesome. So it's essentially, you know, Exarchs and units can take this. Is it instead of then one of their normal abilities?
So you can, they have, each Exarch got a set of 6 new powers.
Mm-hmm.
And each of these new powers can, you can either replace the Exarch power that they have already, or you can pay 1 command point once per game, essentially, to make one of your units have both the one they have and one. So you can double it up on one of them, which is pretty cool.
That's sick.
Pick and choose and make sure that your aspect warriors play exactly like you want them in your list. You know, if you want them as a support unit or a killer unit. And it gives you an ability to sort of tailor them a little bit more to what you want. So, couple of ones of note. Fire dragons. I love the one that allows you to make all your guns pistols.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, that's definitely a cool one.
So, there's a thing like that in the Salamander's Codex as well, where you turn your flamer weapons into pistol weapons, and, oh man, that's insane. you can just throw fire dragons and wrap up an enemy tank and just melt her to death in combat.
Yeah, and then be free to go and charge something else or whatever the next turn.
Yeah, exactly.
The other one, so it's important to note, some of them are Exarch powers that help the entire unit. Some of them are Exarch powers that help the Exarch specifically.
Mm.
So I always prefer stuff that sort of helps the unit, as a whole, to make the unit more effective. Mm. However, if you really have a plan, or there's some that affect the enemy, not the unit, so we'll get to the, even though it just affects the Exarch, we'll get to that in the Swooping Hawks one as well.
Yep.
So that's just one of them, the fire dragons. You know, will you see them? Yeah, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, fire dragons are still fire dragons. They're still toughness 3. They still die very quickly. So you sort of have to keep them alive to get the most out of them.
Yes.
Dire Avengers got some cool ones, like Blade Storm. So any unmodified hit roll of a 6 scores an additional hit. So that can be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It's essentially mini Tesla.
That's sick.
Oh yeah, and then you also get there's another one which is I like, which is Avenging Strikes. So if your unit has an Exarch and you've lost any models in the unit, you get +1 to hit and +1 to wound with any attacks that unit does.
Yeah, that one stands out.
Yeah, of course, you have to lose a model in the unit, which is okay. Mm-hmm. However, you could always try and perils with a Warlock and have him explode and then have him kill a couple of Dire Avengers nearby so that they all get +1 to hit, +1 to wound. Jeez. But, you know, that's just me being tricksy.
That's just another 55 points to peril.
Yeah, exactly. 55 points to perils, and then hopefully he dies, and then kills a few Dire Avengers, and then makes them amazing for the rest of the game. Don't try that at home, guys. It's a meme. It's a rule dynamic that will rarely come up, but it's something that could happen. Dark Reapers are pretty cool. This is one of the ones where I like Rain of Death is one of my favorites. You can reroll the number of shots with their Exarch Tempest Launcher. And Tempest Launchers are one of the best out of line of sight guns, especially for Dark Reapers, so I really like that. And they also they can target characters. The Exarch can target characters within 18 inches is another one, which could be pretty fun if you had multiples with it. You could just have them go in wave serpents, hop out and snipe characters with Reaper launchers. Mm. So that could be fun too.
That's actually
cool. But if they're that close. Yeah, if they're that close though, you're playing a risky business there.
Yes. Risky hammers with your Reapers.
Exactly. Unless you have some sort of like ungodly screen that nobody's going to get to your Reapers.
Or a psychic power. That makes them only target closest model.
Yes, exactly. Or you could always fire and fade, right? Run up, shoot a character, run away. Then Howling Banshees, they got some cool ones. They have the one that they have in their, is it War Shout? Or whatever, lets them always strike first in combat. I think that's the Exarch power that they come with. Like the Graceful Avoidance, gives them a 5-up feel no pain in close combat, which is sort of a pseudo invulnerable save, which is good, you know, since Howling Banshees don't have one, but being able to ignore wounds on fives is pretty good. So having a unit that could do that in combat, being a combat unit, would keep them around a lot longer.
Yeah, sure.
And then,
Oh, sorry.
And then you get like a Nerve Shredding Shriek, which is an Exarch does D3 mortal wounds on a 4+ after they charge. Essentially, if she's within an inch of a model, could come in handy to like a character or something like that that has a storm shield or whatnot. Kind of handy to get some wounds in.
Yeah. So,
and then we have
you go. Mm-hmm? No, you're right.
That's okay. No, you had a question.
I was going to say, would you trade those kind of defensive buffing powers that you can get on the unit, which people are talking about, like, let's say on your Shining Spears and stuff, do you think these offensive ones that do mortal wounds and get additions to wound are better? Or do you like to play a bit more defensive?
It really depends on what you want your unit to do. If your unit's designed to be a tar pit, then make it a tar pit. If your unit's designed to go in and do damage, then design it to go in and do damage. You know, so what I like about this, it gives you the option to do both.
Yeah.
You know, it's got really interesting. One of the things I like is suppressing fires. This is when the Exarch fires Overwatch, you subtract 2 from the charge roll, which from the enemy unit. Which is pretty cool. It's like being in a crater all of a sudden, which then you could be in a crater and then have a -4, which makes it very hard to charge Swooping Hawks in a crater or a forest.
Well, just imagine like just Dire Avengers on the line with that. they're just such a nice little tar pit.
Yeah, well, you know, the Swooping Hawks themselves, like you'd have to declare them as a charge for them to Overwatch. So you'd kind of have to play it safe, but it does mean that they could essentially act as more of a screen, especially on a flank. You know, if you anchor your flank with a with a crater and put a unit of swooping hulks on the flank and then make it very hard for your opponent to charge anywhere else using flyers or wave serpents or whatever is like screened on the other part of the game. And then they come in close to your swooping hulks. It's almost impossible for them to charge in at a deep strike from that area, which just makes it easier for you to sort of keep them back or prepare if they decide to drop something there and send stuff that way to go murder it.
But
that's one of my favorite ones. And of course, evade gives them a 5-up invulnerable save, which can be pretty handy in a unit that has a 4-up armor. So just all of a sudden, they get more survivable against shooting, which can be kind of neat.
That's fucking cool. Yeah.
Striking Scorpions are one of the ones that I really like. Striking Scorpions, I think they're an underused, underappreciated unit. And I really, really like the, what is it? It's called Scorpion Sting. So while the unit has a Striking Scorpion's Exarch, you add one to rolls made for the Mandy Blaster's ability. So Mandy Blaster's at the start of every fight phase, essentially. You roll a dice on a 6. It does a mortal wound to the unit you're fighting.
Yes.
5s and 6s, they just do mortal wounds.
Oh, man. Mm. So one of our mates in our game,
right?
he played a unit with like about 20 or 30 Scorpions and then about 20 Hawks, and it was just mortal wound city. So yeah, shout out to James. I was playing with Death Watch and I felt pretty happy. I was like, oh yeah, I've got bolters, and then he drops in and kills like 20 of my vets just from mortals.
Because the Hawks are 5-up doing mortals as well, combined with the
Scorpions when they get in. It's awesome, and they can get bonuses to charge and stuff. Like it's amazing.
Yeah.
So you know, it's especially the psychic powers in there. There's a psychic power from the new psychic power tree, gives you +2 to charge. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Awesome power,
right? Yep. So it makes your coming out of deep strike and going in and charging stuff really, really neat. So that the Scorpion Sting is one of my favorites. The ambush is pretty cool. They always get fight first if they're in a piece of terrain, which is pretty neat. And then if you're shooting at them, or Stalker, which is if you're shooting at them and they're in cover, it's -1 to be hit, which makes them like Rangers, right? Which can be pretty awesome.
Yeah,
that's you know, helps. So like, yeah, it just makes them super survivable.
Mm. Yeah.
And Shining Spears are a unit that has seen more play recently, even though the Inari got nerfed. I'm thinking Craft World players are starting to see some of the benefits of still bringing Shining Spears. The Psychic Power gives them +2 to charge. You know, you could also make them Bieltan, which gives them another +2 to charge at a deep strike, right?
Mm. Yes.
And then you can also have a Psychic Power that gives them Swooping Dive, or Psychic Power, Exarch Power, which gives them +1 to charge when they charge. So they could have a +5 to charge out of deep strike, which is pretty cool.
Jesus.
Yeah.
No one cares about the crater, mate. You're on +5 to charge.
It's awesome. +5 to charge, you know, get in. It just makes them a lot more like reliable to get in and do the damage that you paid for when you get the Shining Spears.
Yep.
This exact power is one that really stood out to me. It's called Withdrawal. Striking Scorpions, Shining Spears, and Warp Spiders have it. The Warp Spiders one, though, is differently worded. But the Striking Scorpions and Shining Spears, at the end of the fight phase, if they're within 1 inch of an enemy model, they can fall back instantly as if it was your movement phase at the end of any fight phase.
Wow.
Which allows things like Shining Spears, Striking Scorpions, if you have that power, to move after the combat, which allows you to then not have to spend the command points for, you know, for basically strike and fade or whatever it is to be able to act as normal. You just move out of combat, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, that's definitely
charge something else and, you know, be effective elsewhere instead of just getting tied up in combat and bogged down.
Like anything with that rule, like I know some of the specialist attachments like the Ravenwing Bikers and the Warlock Conclave and Windriders had that in Vigilus. and the black and the Iron Hands Iron Father, oh not Iron Father, the Iron Hands character trait that allows him to get the fuck out of combat. Like all those things are so powerful just because it lets you activate in the next turn.
Very,
yeah,
powerful. This is not as powerful, of course, because it's the end of the fight phase, which means that the enemy still gets a chance to attack and whatnot before you get the move. A lot of the other powers you get to attack.
Yes,
and then after you've attacked, you can move away, so you can even deny people from attacking you back, essentially.
Yes, yeah.
But that's pretty cool. I like that one. The plus one to charge is really good. And then you can give the Shining Spirit Exarch a 3+ invulnerable save. So if you do, so if you do want to say fortune him for a 2+ invul save, and then be able to like, there's another psychic power that gives you a free reroll.
Oh yeah, true. Free save roll.
You can, yeah, so the Fateful Divergence gives you a free roll. So at the till the start of your next psychic phase, you can reroll single hit, wound roll, save roll. So not only would you have a 2+ rerollable save with psychic power, but then you have a reroll from the command point. So you could reroll that save twice, which means your Exarch could like tank all the wounds in the world.
Yeah.
And keep all your Shining Spears alive.
Wow. Yeah, that's definitely one that the internet's been raving on about, the 2+
invul.
Yeah. Hey, my Archon wishes he could re-roll his 2+ invul.
Oh, man. I hate rolling the ones for those shadow fields.
Oh, the trick is you don't roll the shadow field till you need to. You use his armor save until he has like one or two wounds left, and then you start rolling on that shadow field.
Yeah.
People out there are just mind blown. They're like, yes, you can choose whatever save you need to. So if they shoot you with a ball pistol, don't take your shadow field save, please. So you don't roll that one. Then the Crimson Hunter Exarchs, they got... when I did my review, I literally grabbed my book and I threw my book. I was like, this is ridiculous, because they got better.
Yep.
Why do Crimson Hunters have to get better?
I hated this too. I hated it so much.
hate is a strong word. However, let's just say that being able to choose, you know, not a penalty. So being able to have your Crimson Hunter Exarch not suffer the penalty for moving and shooting, you know, making sure they're hitting on twos all the time. Really awesome. Mm-hmm. Or hit twos rolling ones. Or add +1 to damage when you shoot something that has fly. Right, or aerial maneuvering, pivot it 180 degrees before it moves.
Yep, it can do 180s. Yep.
Oh my god!
So you can literally hem your Crimson Hunter into a corner where it would normally die, spin 180 degrees, and then have the entire table again. It's so silly. Anyway, that was probably my favorite, because I read that, I was like, great. So there's just, not only do they get, it's just to add insult to injury, you know. You can move before and after, and you can move 180 before, so you know, you're just going to be able to go wherever you want.
Yeah, jeez.
So I thought that was pretty funny. And then we have the Warp Spiders. And Warp Spiders are super, super maneuverable with the new rules. They have one of the ones I love is, first of all, they have the withdraw, except at the end of we don't know if it's a type or not, but it just says at the end of the fight phase, they can just move 6 inches if a full back is over the movement phase. They don't have to be within an inch of an enemy unit to do so. They just they just move. So Warp Spiders, as it is right now, get a free 6-inch move at the end of every fight phase.
Yeah, free fire and fade, essentially.
Holy fuck.
Like, even though it's not up to shooting, but it's the same mechanic, you know?
Exactly. And it's every fight phase. So my player turn, your player turn, my player turn, your player turn. So you can kind of go back and forth, right?
Yeah,
that's awesome. It gives a lot of movement.
Yeah, that's wicked, man. So you just like stand out, shoot something, and then at the end of your own fight phase, just duck behind a building. Like it's...
Oh. You don't need to... And then at the beginning of your opponent's... At the end of your opponent's fight phase, move 6 inches forward to get that extra range to go get that other thing you wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
Or get near an objective, have them like be next to it, and then at the end of their fight phase, be like, now I can test your objective, so I hold more now. Have fun. Oh, you know, geez. That sort of thing.
And that's really good with the 12-inch range weapons as well, because like they have to be within 12, and then they can move away 18 if they need.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, another one I like is called Web of Deceit. Once per battle in your movement phase, if it can has a warp side exarch, you make a warp jump instead of moving normally. So you remove the unit and deep strike it anywhere in the same turn.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Like a free teleport deep strike, which is pretty awesome.
That's it's a free Wings of Fire.
Exactly. And considering that, then they're not terrible. Like, Wolf Spiders aren't the worst. They can go around, and especially they're great at beating up small backfield objective holder units.
Yeah.
You know, like little cultist unit or, you know, five interstessors or something that are sitting in a building in the back. Or
yeah,
you can, being able to just force your opponent to screen out or have to worry about them going in and murdering everything, that's pretty cool.
Mm.
And if you want them to have some sort of close combat bite, you can, with the Spider's Bite. Makes the power blades on the Warp Spider Exarch plus 1 strength and damage 2. Which, if you have a Primaris problem, that might be your Primaris solution.
Yeah, that one's interesting.
Or, you know, strength 4, minus 3 AP, 2 damage. It's not terrible, you know?
Yeah, it's a Mastercrafted Power Sword for free, right?
Mm. Yeah. You are giving up, like, other stuff, so, you know, maybe the one of your, if you're going to double up on a power, maybe double up and do something like that, but you never know.
Yeah.
And then all the craft world attributes, which are a lot of them. So you can kind of mix and match, pick two of your favorites, except for one of them that says if you take this one, you can only take this one. Which is, I don't know if they had that for this.
I think there's one from memory, but I can't remember what one it is at the moment.
Mm, yeah, neither do I. I'm trying to find it right here.
Oh, it might be a witch cult one.
Oh, from it's memory. Called Strike and Fade. It's the craft of Strike and Fade.
Okay.
They can fall back and still charge.
Ah, there we go.
That's cool.
And when they make a consolidation move and they're not within 3 inches of enemy units, they can. They don't have to end their move closer to the enemy model, so they can basically consolidate in any direction almost.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's pretty strong.
Anything that's movement based is very, very strong. But you know, write into the show. Let us know which one are your favorites. Which ones do you think Games Workshop wasted paper on?
Which one do you think they wasted paper on, Skari?
I want to say, well,
your most dislike.
Okay. Things like Hunter's Ancient Relics, add 1 to attacks within 3 inches of an objective marker. You know, that's like, I don't know. I like that. It's good, but it's very situational.
Yeah, look, that one's interesting.
Anything that's like melee based, you know, I guess, like, okay, let's rephrase what I said. I feel like some of them, maybe not a waste of paper, but you'd have to build very specific lists to use them.
Yeah, I agree.
You're like, no, you might not like jump out at it. You'd be like, this is the list that I can see using all the time. No.
Yeah. See, in most instances, like, from my initial thoughts, I wouldn't trade a lot of these for just the basic neg one hit, because the Latok is still pretty good in most cases. But there are some, like, niche areas that I think, you know, some of these might stand out to me. So one of which is actually the one that you mentioned, the Hunters of Ancient Relics. So, like, if you do, I don't know, a squad of Shining Spears and they got to go in and clear objectives, you don't have to run big units of them. Mm. You can charge them in with plus one a charge on, because one of these traits is plus one a charge, and then you've got the Exarch power for plus one a charge. So you can get them plus two to charge, they behave on their own, and they can go in and hit units within 300 objective for an extra attack, so they're actually a bit stronger in combat. So there's like niche little avenues that I think some people might come out with, you know, using these things, we're going to be like, oh, wow, that's really strong. But for now, like, we've got to wait and see till, you know, all those elder players come out, test out these exo powers and whatnot.
Once they put their space screens down and they decide to, like, practice with certain things here, that'd be great. But yes, I agree. It's going to take a while to see some really cool combinations. And I feel like that's the stuff that will surprise people the most.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so, like, should we move on to Drakari?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, what do you think, first off, about the new Drazar? Because I personally absolutely love him.
Sexy, sexy beast.
Yeah, his model's awesome too.
Can't wait to get it. And apparently he's on like a 40 mil base, Terminator size base, which is pretty awesome when he's jumping out of a raider. However, I've added Drazar into my competitive list since the new Drazar came out, and I ran him as the Warlord for a bit, and I've taken the Warlord away from him, but he is pretty awesome. It's nice having a little beat stick. He's like a mini Smash Captain, you know, but different than a Dark Eldar one, because you have to get him there instead of fly him there. But he can kill some stuff. Like, he's done work for me.
He is, in the Marine meta, I honestly think he's a perfect 120-point Primaris killer.
Oh, yeah.
The only Primaris he has trouble killing are the Iron Hands, because they have their feel no pains. But if he runs into a unit of Intercessors, he will kill half, if not most, of an entire unit.
Mm-hmm.
And that is awesome, because he just runs in. You just have to make sure that he's tag-teaming with some Witches, so that the Witches can hold his target up in combat, so they can't, like, fall back and then shoot Drazar to death, because then he just dies pretty quickly.
Yeah, exactly. You use him as the beat stick. But he gives some pretty nice buffs to Incubi. Now, do you think that brings Incubi up into the competitive level?
Incubi will kill anything they touch, but that's pretty much what they have done always. The issue with them isn't their killiness, it's their survivability. As soon as they kill their target, they usually end up dying. So you have to find a way to keep them alive, and that usually drains resources from the rest of a very tweaked list that's using every point very, very effectively in the army. And that can be a bit of a drain. Like, the best thing I found is using them like him, the Incubi, so Drazar, the Incubi, and a Succubus in a Raider with a Chardonnette and Impaler, just to make sure that I can try and tag a unit of infantry nearby so that the Incubi can kill a target near a unit of infantry and then pile into the infantry to hold them up in combat.
Yeah.
But I really like the fact that they all got lethal precision, and I love the fact that they gave back the demi-claves to the Clavex.
Yeah. So what does that do?
It's crazy. So lethal precision on a 6 to wound, they add 2 to the damage characteristic. Ooh. So Incubi are all running in. They have 3 attacks base, right, which is a lot of attacks.
Yes.
They run in, and, you know, they're strength 4 with their claves. So they're hitting on 3s or 2s if it's turn 2 or turn 3, depending on if you used Architects of Pain on them or not. And then Drazar is there giving them +1 to wound, but unmodified 6s are 3 damage apiece, which makes them pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. So they can go in. They, like him, Drazar and a unit of Incubi should be able to cut a knight in half in one round of combat, but, you know, which for half the cost of the knight, which is a good trade-off. You just, as soon as that happens, then they die. So you just have to... Yeah.
Hope you killed enough points, essentially.
Yeah, before he's like, is it worth the sacrifice? You know, maybe, right?
Mm. And see, Drazar gets lethal precision as well. So he does 4 damage on a roll of a 6, which is absolutely
so good. He has cut demon princes down, characters, like he just goes in, and because when he charges, he attacks twice. You know, 12 attacks with his demiclaves or 8 attacks with just his regular clave. Oh, so he's if you're a Dark Eldar player and you haven't found a way to practice with him or just test him out, I highly recommend you do.
Yeah. He's for 120 points, I think he's actually quite, you know, undercosted, but I'm gonna keep it and not say it's overpowered at the moment. So I like where he's at. 120 points for that beat.
I think he's just right, because you still have to invest the points getting him there. He's still only tough. He's toughness 4. You know, he's got 6 wounds, which is really tough. He has a 5-up pinball. So if you hit him with like a Thunderhammer, he will die. So you have to be careful with him.
Yeah. That's true. You do have to commit a transport and whatnot to him as well. So that's true.
But that's just me. And then of course we have the obsessions. So you got Drukhari obsessions, Witch Cult obsessions, and Coven obsessions. Out of all of them, I feel the Coven and the Witch Cult were the ones that intrigued me the most, that I liked the most, simply because there was only one Coven to use, which is Prophets of Flesh, and Witch Cult was between, you know, Curseblade or Cult of Strife, really. So out of the 3, so it wasn't much flavor. But now you kind of make kind of whatever you want, which is pretty cool. And the Cabal obsessions, I feel, they still get outshined by Flayed Skull for ignore cover and reroll ones and extra movement, or Cabal of Blackheart just because you need Vect in your list if you're going competitively and you want to just say no to something.
Yes.
The fun ones, like if I were to run a custom Cabal, I'd probably go for Soulbound, which gives the six up feel no pain to the tanks like the Cabal of Blackheart does. For either Deadly Deceivers or Meticulous Flayers. So Deadly Deceivers lets them fall back and still charge, which can be really handy if you're playing technically, to like, especially with vehicles, to fall back and recharge a vehicle to tie something up or soak up Overwatch or things like that. And then Meticulous Flayers, any sort of like infantry unit that is not attacking a vehicle or a Titanic unit, if you roll a 6 to hit, it automatically wounds, which could be kind of handy if you just have a bunch of Cabalites charging into combat. But, you know, so in a pinch. Anything that takes out a dice roll is very important.
Yeah. What do you think about the +1 damage on one roll of a 6?
Toxin Crafters is great. However, the Coven do it better. So... Yeah. There's no point in taking Cabal Venoms without obsession. You take Coven Venoms.
Yes.
Yeah, boy.
And talk about Coven, but Dark Technomancers is what we're talking about. So you can essentially overcharge any weapon or any gun that you have, kind of like plasma. Mm-hmm. If you do, on any Coven unit, this is a Coven Raider, this is a Coven Reaper, a Coven Tantalus even, a Coven Venom, for example, an Ossifactor, a Hex Rifle, a Liquefier Gun, you name it. It means that you get +1 to wound and +1 to damage.
This is the money, mate.
It's,
if you roll an unmodified 1 to wound, you take a mortal wound. So even if you roll like 3 ones, you take 1 mortal wound.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Tau Plasma in that way.
But it's so much better than overcharging, because you add 1 to the wound and damage roll.
So great. And it's an automatic 1.
Yeah.
Right? It's an automatic extra damage. And, you know, does it make liquefiers worth 11 points of liquefier? Maybe. You know, I'd like to try, a unit of Talos with, you know, 3 twin liquefier guns or something. You know, going up and doing 2 damage and +1 to wound. D3 AP. Right, that could be fun, right? Kill Primaris Marines pretty quick. So I've been liking it with disintegrated cannons on Raiders mostly.
Yeah, I mean, 3 damage diseased, why not? And +1 wound, sure. Yep.
Mm-hmm. fours and plus one damage. So, you know, I had one raider, like one of the first test games I do 9 damage to a knight.
Holy fuck.
that's one disintegrated cannon.
Jeez.
So that sold me on it like instantly. I was like, that is amazing. Just having the potential to do that amount of work and wounding a knight on fours, which is great. Did I take a mortal wound? Yes. Okay, no problem. You know, whatever.
Who cares at that stage? So
yeah. Yeah. Now, a lot of people have been raving about experimental creations, which is you add one to the strength characteristic of the models in the unit. And when you're resolving an attack with a poison weapon, so it's just shooting in close combat against a unit that has a lower toughness than you personally, you add one to the wound roll. So this works well with Venoms. If you're going a Coven Venom spam list, you can go Dark Technomancers and Experimental Creations. Mm-hmm. So all your Venoms become Strength 6. But then if you're next to a Homunculus, your toughness 6. You get plus 1 to toughness within 6 inches of a Homunculus. So anything that's toughness 5 or less, you're getting plus 1 to wound against with your poison weapons. So if you have like a bunch of Venoms that have poison, you're getting plus 1 to wound. And then on top of that, you can Dark Technomancer the guns to give an additional plus 1 to wound. So you can potentially be wounding toughness 4 or so with, you know, all the time pretty much. That's not a vehicle or Titanic. On twos with your poison that is 2 damage now.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, Venom spam with this would be pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty nasty. The only thing I don't like is it doesn't ignore cover. It doesn't have any sort of AP. So a lot of the damage will be negated by just sitting there in cover and just kind of hunkering down. The other one is Obsessive Collectors, which lets you regenerate units. But the one I want to touch on that I've really enjoyed is Dark Harvest. So after you charge with a Coven unit, any model that's within an inch of an enemy unit, essentially an enemy model, rolls a dice on a 5+, they do a mortal wound. So after the whole unit's moved, essentially, to charge. And I run a large units of racks, and they just jump out. And when I have 10 racks charging into something and doing 10 5-ups to try to get mortal wounds, it can be really awesome because it helps against anything. Knights, it helps against demon princes, smash captains that have like a cool invulnerable save. Doesn't matter. You just run in and do mortal wounds when you charge, and then they're dead. And it's awesome.
Yeah. That's really potent because a lot of times, you know, racks, they don't do the most damage, and that can really, really help them.
Especially against stuff that has an invulnerable save or has negative modifiers to hit in combat. You know, you can run in and just do mortals, and that just bypasses all that, which is pretty awesome. Mm. Especially in a competitive list where you don't know what you're going to face.
So do you think that's better than the Prophets of Flesh, though, that everyone takes, the 4-up in the...
It's different. If you're going to run something that you, like, a bunch of talos and grotesques and what, Prophets of Flesh is still better. You know, 4-up, ignore any damage is really good.
Mm.
I just have really liked the damage output that the Coven have given me. You know, that Dark Technomancers works with Haywire as well. So you're getting 2 damage Haywire guns that are plus 1 to wound. So they're wounding most things on 5s, well, most tanks. But now the plus 1 to wound affects the mortal wounds as well. So you get a 3+ does a mortal wound, and a 5+ does D3 mortal wounds, which can be really handy with a unit of Talos, for example.
Yeah.
So I like the damage output, but if you're going for survivability, then yes, a 4-up invul is still going to be amazing. You still get the Vexator Mask. You still get the D3 extra command points at the start of the game. So Prophets of Flesh is still powerful. I just feel like these help you craft something to your, like, deepest, darkest desires.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely gives you the flexibility, which is awesome. I mean... We need it. Try a new thing.
Yeah, it's exactly right. It just mixes it up because
you have to be...
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I didn't mean to interrupt. I apologize.
No, you're right. I was only going to add, you know, Eldar was in a bit of a weird spot now. Oh, well, not, I shouldn't say Eldar, but Eldari factions. And this just adds a bit more flavor and a bit more ability to spread out and think of new options. So it's awesome.
It is. And you have to, as a player, you have to sometimes take a risk and just try something that you're not used to trying. Mm-hmm. And just kind of going, I wonder what will happen. And you'd be surprised what kind of really cool things you can find.
Yeah.
So the last one we're going to talk about is Witch Cult Obsessions. And they got some really fun ones. If you want them to be tar pits, you give them a 3-up invulnerable save while they're in close combat with an enemy unit, which is really fun. You know, they get +1 to their invulnerable save as acrobatic display. But I like Test of Skill. Mm-hmm. When a model with this obsession attacks a monster or vehicle with 10 or more wounds, you add 1 to the wound roll. Cool thing is, it works with shooting attacks too.
Wow.
Yeah. It's awesome.
So now your Witch Cult Razor Wings with their disintegrated cannons get +1 to wound against big tanks, essentially. Personally, I've been running Void Raven Bombers, and the strength 9 lances wound repulsors, or knights on 2s. Because they're strength 9.
So now comparing this to Dark Technomancers. Oh wait, no, Dark Techno, you cannot take Homunculus Planes, can you?
You cannot, no. Yeah. So this, you can take a Tantalus as a Homunculus Coven. So if you want to take a Tantalus with a strength 8 disintegrator cannons that do 3 damage a piece now, then go right ahead.
Damn.
Or a Reaper that does D6 launch shots with damage D6 +1. Then go right ahead. So there are options for you Homunculus players out there. But it has been, that +1 to wound is great. And then even the witches get it. So if the witches are in close combat, they're wounding on 5s instead of 6s normally, which is pretty much as good against tanks or even better against some tanks than the strength 4 that you get from Cult of the Cursed Blade.
Yeah. And witches have a bunch of attacks, so that +1 a wound is really good.
Yeah, especially against vehicles. You're just doing like monsters or vehicles too, so it works against monsters as well.
Yeah.
And then the one I like, there's two that you can kind of pick from that I think are really good. One is Berserk Fugue, and one is Precise Killers. Berserk Fugue is whenever they are charged or heroically intervened, any unmodified roll of a 6 is 1 additional hit, so they have like Tesla attacks in close combat. I personally like that because it helps against hordes. Like if you're running with a bunch of witches, I've had them roll so many 6s and like so many more attacks go into wound, which just means you have more potential for damage. The other one is Precise Killers. 6s to wound are AP -1. So that could be kind of handy if you're playing stuff that has lots of armor. However, I like having extra attacks always.
Yeah. I think the extra attacks fits in with what the witches do better.
Exactly, yeah. They're not going to go after the big, strong shit. They're going to clear and get a wrap off and tie stuff in combat.
Mm-hmm. Or use their nets. Just
yes,
net
use their little nets, yeah.
Their nets are so good. And so those are the ones that I like the most. Out of the obsessions, you know, you, of course, can write into the show. Let us know which ones you like.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah. Oh, you go, D. You go.
I was just going to say that it can go so deep with all this stuff, like just because of all the permutations you can do.
Yeah.
So now...
Just mix and match. You're playing like do-it-yourself, right? Just mix and match, find something that works, you know? Yeah.
Well, the good thing is that all these things can bring into light or give opportunity to some units that have never seen tabletop so far, you know? Like,
exactly.
They might have some use now. But... Now, what I'm interested in, and maybe you're not as interested as I am, Scary, but what do you think about the new Inari rules?
I've played Inari. Like, I love playing them. Every once in a while, I'll crack open my Incarn, my Vrain, and I'll put them on the table with, 60 witches and, a bunch of Razorwing flocks, and I'll just run at people. And it is really entertaining.
Oh, you're still running the Razorwing flocks? I love it.
Yeah, the only way to run them is Inari. They become fearless. They get a 5-up invulnerable save. There's a whole bunch of stuff that makes the birds amazing as Inari. Oh,
wow.
So something that just comes to note is point drops across the board. And I think if you've read The White Dwarf, you know, we don't really have to rehash stuff that's already been out there in terms of Inari. However, the Incarn went down 57 points, which is crazy. It's amazing.
Huge drop.
Izark went down 40 points or whatever, so he's actually decent for his point cost. And Ivrain went down to her original point cost, I believe.
Yeah, 115. I think she dropped 15 points from what she was, right? Or
17 points or something. Which, honestly, like, her going down in points, okay, awesome. I'm okay with that. They did change a couple of the stratagems and whatnot. None of the powers really changed. So, like, the Vizark still does his thing, and the Incarn does as well. I personally... The Incarn, these Inari characters fit into any Eldari list. Like, you can just put them into any Craftworld detachment or whatever that doesn't have certain elements. And you can just add in some psychic support to, like, your Dark Eldar list with, like, Ivrain, for example. Put her into, like, your Cabal detachment. And all of a sudden you have a Deny and some Mortal Wound output and whatever. So that could be pretty snazzy.
Yeah.
Or play a Venom spam list and run the Incarn so that it can bounce around from dead Venom to dead Venom, terrifying the enemy.
Yeah. Oh, man. We have a local guy in our area that plays the Incarn really well, and it's so terrifying. It's like you don't want to shoot something because he can just, like, bugger off, or you line up to charge him and then you just don't want to kill anything in your shooting phase because he can just go away.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's, you know, the Incarn definitely rewards a technical player. You know, being able to even charge him out, like charge him out to the middle of the enemy army, attack with him, kill whatever he wants to kill, and then make sure that your secondary charge on the flank that's going to be the screen kills whatever they wanted to kill, so then you can pull the Incarn back behind your lines and then wrap him so you can't shoot him. You know, it's just, there's so many different things you need to keep in mind with the Incarn, but well played, that Incarn, it will win you games.
Yeah, definitely.
Stratagems, we talked about Incubi. I love the fact that the Incubi, to make Incubi stratagems in Ari, went down one CP. So for one CP, you can make 3 units of Incubi have the Strength from Death ability, which gives them always strike first, slash plus 1 to hit, which is pretty cool.
Isn't there another stratagem for Incubi or something? Or am I missing something?
For the Dark Eldar. So if you have a Drukhari detachment, you have Onslaught. So every roll of a 6 to hit is an automatic second hit. So you can kind of Tesla them.
Ah, that's
it. Which can be pretty cool. I use that on Drazhar all the time for one command point when he runs in and he's like, I have 6 attacks and I got 2 extra hits. Yay. You know, and all of a sudden he's doing 8 to wound rolls. And you're like, from one model. And then he does it again because he charged or something.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's absolutely awesome.
Yeah. And that is the Phoenix Rising. I really like it. I think I think they knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
I like it too. The only thing I'm confused at is that they changed the given warlord traits to the Incarn and Ivrain. So the Incarn before had plus 1 attack and plus 1 strength. And I think they swapped that and gave it to Ivrain, is that right?
Lol.
Yeah, they made the Incarn scary, so minus 1 leadership, and they made Ivrain better in close combat.
Which, questionable, but it is what it is.
Yeah, you know, so sometimes I don't understand what the design team is thinking. However, they might have just wanted to make sure people ran Cat Lady into combat, you know? After all, what's a good crazy cat lady for than running up and screaming at people?
Providing just the right amount of annoyance. All right. Well, I was going to say, moving on to our next topic, Skari, what do you think is going to happen to, I guess, with all the Phoenix Rising releases? How are the Eldari factions going to go against the top dogs like Marines, you know, and things like that? How do you think they'll travel?
I think there's always done well killing Marines. I feel like, you know, right now the Flyer Spam Eldar is going to be taking a hit. So it'll take some bright minds a little bit of time to figure out what the next best sort of like build is to face off against all these like Iron Hand flyers and things that can just kill their Exarchs pretty quickly. But yeah. I think more than ever, right now, you have to understand what your army can do really, really well inside and out to win the game. Especially at this point where there's so many new variables getting tossed into the mix, you know, stratagems and rules and this and that and detachments and, you know, you name it. So what's going to be needed the most is an experienced player, I feel, that just finds something that clicks well and that they have practice with. And it's probably going to be unconventional and not something people think. And then it'll still win. Like, Dark Eldar still kill Marines decently. The thing is, Marines kill you really, really fast because their damage output is crazy. Yeah. So super efficient killing. Their damage output is really nuts. So you have to sort of try and kill them faster than they can kill you, and that's tough.
Yeah.
I think that's the lists are going to generate into either hide and don't get killed or try kill you before you kill me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of that now. So a lot of the meta in Australia is probably more towards the intercessor spam.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see many flyers, so to speak, yet. But, you know, we've seen the triple repulsor list. We've seen intercessor spam. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting to see what Eldar, because we also have Eldar flyers. We don't have much deviance from that, do we, Denise?
No, I mean, no one's... I know we're going to a team event this coming weekend, and there's a few of the top players, and Eric Thuris and Matt Morozzoli are taking, like, Venom spam lists, and they may well be using some of the new stuff with the, you know, two-damage Venoms and stuff. I'm not exactly sure what obsession that they're taking, but yeah, it's going to be cool to see what people actually do with this book and see if they can find a way to, put the boogeyman Marines in the bin. Yeah. It's going to be cool, man. I'm really excited. I don't have the knowledge of the Eldari books like you guys do, so it's going to surprise me.
Yeah, definitely a bit to look out for.
Yeah, and look, what do you guys think about Eldar Flyers now? I mean, they were getting played a lot, obviously. You know, they got to the final of the LVO at the start of the year. They've been doing fairly well, and they've been, you know, an army that is hard to interact with until Marines really started, like, putting them down with the repulsor lists. And, yeah, like Skyra said, the Marine fly lists. Do you think Eldar Flyers are still going to be a viable build, or are we going to move more towards, you know, Aspect Warrior type stuff, or, you know, other Drakari or Harlequin stuff as opposed to the Flyers?
Well, I will reserve judgment on this topic until after Chapter Approved.
Yeah, true.
Fair enough, yeah.
Right? That's like the big question mark. You know, there's no point in wishlisting or anything like that. We'll see what Chapter Approved brings, and then we'll see kind of like how that shapes the next 6 months.
Yes, because if they implement, you know, a flyer battlefield role, cap at like 3, like people are talking about, that's going to affect it a lot. I mean, it's not going to... The fly list won't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm excited, man. We didn't really have any more formal topics to talk about, but anything you guys wanted to add or discuss before we finish up?
No, not at all. I think we touched on what we needed to touch on there.
Yeah, it was great, mate. I think second episode in a row, I've just potatoed on the sideline, like, you guys are the talking. This is awesome. Like, I'm learning about shit that I would never look at normally.
Well, when we talk about all that, we always get scary on.
Yeah.
But, you know, we try and talk about the Dark Eldar, but this time those craft or the people sneaked in as well, eh?
Had to share your slice of the pie, mate.
Hey, we have to come in somewhere, right?
But look, hey, thanks, Gary, for coming on. Before we finish off, where can people find you?
You can head on over to YouTube. Just find me on Skardcast. That's SKAREDCAST. On YouTube, do lots of battle reports and stuff. And then all the links to all the other social media right on there, from 40K Coaching to the Patreon to all that stuff. So all that goodness. And if you want to come to Canada at the beginning of March, I'm running a major event in Ontario called the Berry Bash. It's on Best Coast Pairings. I think there's only like 18 spots left. So if you want to fly all the way to Toronto, come up to Barrie, play in a 2-day major to get your points for the ITC season ready to rock, come on over, sign up now before all the spots are gone.
Can confirm Canadian tournaments rock.
We put on a good show, that's for sure.
Yeah, man. So look, you'll obviously hear about that coming up. But yeah, thank you again, Scarry, for jumping on. Just before we finish, we do have a Patreon to help cover our costs. And if anyone wants to jump on there and support us, we're on www.patreon.com/normalblokes. We like to give a shout out for any patrons. And we had a new patron this week, Tim Curry. So thank you for signing up. And yeah, give us a like on Facebook, subscribe to us on iTunes. Luke has now set us up on Spotify. So we're up on there. Because I've been a bit of an idiot and not done that for a year. So thank you, Luke, for getting onto that. But yeah, we'll see you guys next time. Take it easy.
Hey.
Turn it up, let it start. From block to block, open heart, some jack.